Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. The CDC says you can now visit people unmasked.
Yay!
Normal?
No more mask voice.
I want to wait a month before you do this, see how many times they change their mind on this one.
I don't want to smell my own breath anymore.
It does feel like it's often.
Yeah, it changes too often.
It's true, yeah.
For me.
You should wait a little bit, yeah.
But it just feels like the news keeps getting better. So,
yes.
Knock on wood.
There you go. Parallel.
There are different rules for different gatherings and situations. Here's CDC Director Lady.
CDC recommends that fully vaccinated people can visit with other fully vaccinated people in small gatherings indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing. CDC recommends that fully vaccinated people can visit with unvaccinated people from one other household indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing, as long as the unvaccinated people and any unvaccinated members of their household are not at high risk for severe COVID-19 disease.
What? What?
How did they make this so complicated?
Translation, please.
Fully vaccinated people got no reason.
What's going on in your brain?
I was just thinking of a parody song. I'm like, there's got to be something to do with fully vaccinated people.
Yeah, if you're both vaccinated, you can visit each other.
There you go. In a nutshell, yeah.
And only with unvaccinated people that are not at high risk.
But didn't they?
No, but only one household of those unvaccinated people.
I don't know. That's all I got.
And you
I'm just
going to
stay home with my mask on.
By myself.
Right.
I'm going to get my shot and run to the woods.
Doesn't it take like 3 to 4 weeks to develop those antibodies anyway?
No, but I basically told you what she was going to say. Then we hear it, and I still don't know what she said.
Wait, play it again. Play it again.
Okay.
CDC recommends that fully vaccinated people can visit with other fully vaccinated people.
Okay.
Got that part,
right? That's easy.
All right.
Okay.
Right?
You're vaccinated, I'm vaccinated, I can go visit you.
In small gatherings indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing.
Okay.
Normal.
Yeah, because we're okay, right. Like
small
normal.
Gatherings.
Right.
Now, what's a small gathering? But okay, whatever.
I'm guessing 2 people, 3 people.
So vaccinated people can visit vaccinated people in small groups.
No masks.
Indoors. No masks.
No distancing.
No, yeah. Hug them if you want. Go
exactly,
for it.
Hug them, kiss them.
Right. Strangle them.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you do. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I hate you.
CDC recommends that fully vaccinated people can visit with unvaccinated people from one other household.
Household?
One
Why?
Household.
Why?
I think there'll be a question on that one.
I would assume if you're vaccinated, you can still carry it. Maybe you won't develop symptoms.
Okay.
But other people might.
No, they told us that. That you could get vaccinated, and all that's going to do is protect you from the most severe symptoms, like,
yeah,
you know, getting your ass knocked down to the ground and ending up on a ventilator.
Or dead.
It doesn't prevent you from spreading it. Why are they now saying, well,
if you're only going to that one house, and the only other people you're interacting with are vaccinated people.
No, she didn't say that. Play that last part.
One house.
Vaccinated people can visit with unvaccinated people from one other household.
One other household.
One other household.
Unvaccinated.
Right. They come in. I'm unvaccinated. Can I come in? Sure, why not? I'm vaccinated.
I'm sorry. I was expecting clarity. It's the government. Duh.
Indoors, without wearing masks or physical distancing, as long as the unvaccinated people and any unvaccinated members of their household are not at high risk for severe COVID-19 disease.
Do they realize they're talking to the people who need to have written on their coffee cup, hot?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is true.
Contents may be hot.
Everybody get vaccinated.
Right. Yeah. Don't stick this in a light socket.
I did.
You know?
I did do that.
Right.
Hurt like hell, too. Yeah. But that's how you learn.
AJ, I put a screwdriver in there, too, buddy.
Yep. That's how you learn.
It's all about AJ.
I also found you don't touch a little orange thing inside of a toaster.
You learned that the hard way, huh?
With a butter knife, yep. That's now how my hair got like this, by the way.
Right, so what do we do?
I wasn't going to say it, but I was thinking it.
Actually, me too.
Were you also in a bath at the same time?
That's what Chaz was saying. We're letting my CDC guidelines shut up over
you
there.
You went there. All right.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. So is that this announcement, will this change anyone's behavior?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not vaccinated.
It's nice to hear, though.
So I guess I can be visited by vaccinated people.
You'll be visited by three vaccinated people. Vaccinated from the future. Vaccinated from the past. Vaccinated from the present. I am so buzzed.
Vaccinated from the past.
Right.
They're dead.
Exactly.
They didn't make it.
Yeah. Chicken Bob Marley. Hey, come on, get this shot.
That is a joke. It is, you know, when you start coming out of it, you forget how serious it was just a year ago.
My God. Yeah. Yeah, especially this serious time.
Yeah.
We didn't know what was going on.
Yep.
Where was the bottom? What to wear when you get vaccinated?
This is stupid.
Just a black shirt.
This is stupid.
Black pants.
Black Panther. Yeah.
Black pants.
He's a Black Panther.
Yeah.
Camouflops.
I didn't think of it. You know, on the one hand, they're saying to us, all these complicated, you could visit, one mask, vaccinated, unvaccinated,
third
small
Tuesday.
Groups.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my God, this is schematics of the space shuttle.
Uh-huh.
And then now they're saying, we're going to explain to you what to wear.
What to wear?
How something, about just show up?
Something sunny.
Red right. pumps.
Something sunny. Something that says, I'm getting vaccinated.
If we're at this point, we're going to be fine. if they're at the point where they're telling us what to wear when we show up, we're going to be fine.
Well, no, you know, I think that suggests that people are coming in like, I don't know.
Wrapped up in
scuba
things.
Scuba diving.
Right.
Like a
wetsuit.
How do people not know?
Or hazmat
people
suit.
People showing up wrapped in plastic.
Hazmat
like,
suit.
Right.
Like if Daniel you LaRusso need to tell Karate us. Kid when he's in the shower.
If you need to tell us what clothes to wear, there's, you know.
Yeah. With one person dressed like they're going to detonate a nuclear device. Yeah.
All right. So this is Dr. Michelle Chester.
Short sleeve, tank top, anything that's easily buttoned open that can expose your arm.
Okay.
Why does this woman have to say this? This shouldn't even be an audio clip.
Because people are stupid.
Do people not know how vaccinations work? Make your arm available. Like, it's not rocket science.
The fact that she has to say that means they had a problem. Because people are stupid.
Well, stupid or just not
put it
ready
this way.
For the next step.
People like this.
Listen, have you been in a line at a supermarket or anywhere? Fast
okay.
food.
Right.
And you're in line. It's like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the person in front of you gets to the counter, and they start looking at the menu.
Right.
Like, oh,
they weren't prepared.
Let me take a look.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you had 10 minutes.
Yeah. But you didn't. Yeah.
And now you're going to try to figure it out.
Exactly. People like this are the reason why Pop-Tarts have instructions.
Mm. This from the guy who stuck a fork in a toaster.
I was talking about Pop-Tart.
He was trying to get the Pop. Damn it. You were quicker than me.
There was some frosting on that one. Oh, right. I went the frosting.
Oh, that's not going to waste.
I can't lick it. I'll use the butter knife. Yes!
Sprinkle, you are mine.
Ba-ding! It was Dutch chocolate, by the way.
All right, so wear a shirt, short sleeve, tank top, or something that buttons off quickly.
Right.
They got to get to your arm.
Yeah.
Gotta get to your arm.
Get to the arm.
Step one.
Get to the arm. Do it now. Do it. It's your arm.
And to get to the vaccine, you got to cross over bridges, right?
The bridges.
Oh, the bridges. The bridges of Madison County.
The bridges. The bridges.
The bridges of Madison County. Tragic.
Oh, the bridges.
Out the bridges.
Oh,
the bridges.
The bridges. The bridges.
Out the bridges.
That's the B-52's version. Oh, the bridges.
Oh, the bridges.
The bridges. Take a look at my bridge. It's big as a whale. It's represents
the bridges. Could have been talking about
but
pants in England. You know, they call them bridges.
Bridges, not bridges.
The bridges.
The bridges. The bridges.
Or Jeff and his brother, the actor.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, the bridges.
Oh, the bridges. The bridges.
The bridges. And not even in a rehearsal, it was awesome. We could be backup singers, Chaz. We need now some moves. Run, 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 magic.
Oh, the bridges.
I love that song. Thank you, Ashley, for helping us relive that song.
My pleasure.
I'm Casey Kasem. And that's the bridges, the bridges, the bridges.
Patrick Cooper.
I feel drunk. I don't know why.
I wanted to ask you about something serious here that's in the news now. The jury selection for the George Floyd murder case.
Extremely, extremely difficult jury selection. So Mr. Chauvin, Derek Chauvin, the man claimed to have killed Floyd, is entitled to a fair jury, a fair cross-section of the community of jurors who can be fair and impartial. And that means that they can take an oath and make a commitment to decide the case based solely on the evidence they see in the courtroom and to not let extraneous factors affect them. No court expects jurors to leave their common sense at the threshold of the courthouse door. In fact, that's the greatest skill a juror brings to a courtroom is common sense. But in the Chauvin case, are they going to be able to find jurors who are not afraid of the consequences of their verdict? There's a real danger in the Chauvin case of a compromise verdict, perhaps finding a lesser offense, not because they believe that Chauvin is legally responsible for the death of Floyd, but because they're afraid that their city will be set fire to again if they don't give the community of activists out there something that they want. Next question, will the jurors be sequestered? Will their identities be made public? There are cases, and we saw this in the Roger Stone case, where the identities of jurors remain confidential. They're identified by numbers and whatnot. Cameras will not be trained on those persons in the courtroom so that they cannot be publicly identified, whether those are moving cameras or still photos. So efforts will be made to keep them confidential. Will that be enough such that a fair and impartial jury can be seated? I think it's an open question in my mind whether he can get a fair trial, and the proof will be in the pudding.
I think you nailed it in the beginning. There's no chance in hell that this guy walks.
No.
Oh, I think he walks. I think there's an excellent chance that he walks. Look, here are the circumstances. George Floyd was crying on the video that he couldn't breathe, but he'd been crying he couldn't breathe for 15, 20 times beforehand. He couldn't breathe when he was sitting upright in the back of a car, handcuffed. He asked officers to get him. He said, "I can't breathe." They opened the window. "I can't breathe. Let me out of the car." He got out of the car. They tried to subdue him. He resisted. They're taught to use takedown techniques. One of the takedown techniques they're taught to use is to place a man face down and put their knee on the man to restrain him. Initially, the knee was on the shoulder. It slipped to the neck. Throughout this entire period, George Floyd was crying he couldn't breathe. In almost every arrest where there's resistance, the first words out of the arrestee is police brutality, or now I can't breathe. I don't think Chauvin did anything that he wasn't trained to do at that point. At most, what he did was kept his leg or his knee on the upper torso and perhaps the neck of Floyd for a few minutes too long. And that may be enough to get him convicted of some degree of homicide, being in reckless disregard of a person's life. But what was he supposed to do? What is an arresting officer supposed to do to overcome the resistance of a person who simply will not comply with your lawful orders? Do you let him go? Is it a catch and release thing? If the arrestee is nutty enough, you just say, "Hey, it's not worth the trouble. You're free to leave, sir." And then the message to arrestees is misbehave and you'll never be taken into custody. Police officers have a monopoly on the legitimate use of force. They're entitled to use even lethal force to overcome the resistance of a person. All that force has to be is reasonable. In the Chauvin case, many people will say the knee to the upper torso was unreasonable. However, there's training material that will demonstrate, and the trial will show that he used a technique he'd been trained to use. As to Mr. Floyd himself, the medical examiner will testify there was no crush injury to his trachea. He had enough fentanyl in him that had he been found dead home alone at that point, they would have ascribed his death to overdose. I think there's an excellent chance that Chauvin will be acquitted. I wouldn't be surprised if he were.
It sounds like you practiced an opening statement.
Really? I know.
That was
floored.
I saw basically what everyone else saw, a quick video.
Yeah.
And it was just horrifying to watch.
Well, you know, not a, the United States Supreme Court said famously in a case called Graham v. Connor, not every push, pull, or shove when seen from the calmness of a judicial chamber is unreasonable. Police officers face on the street situations that are tense, uncertain, and evolving, and they're trained to use force to protect themselves and others. I've been involved in dozens, maybe scores of these cases, jury trials, unreasonable force cases. I predict that Shelvin will be acquitted of the major charges, and I'd say there's a better than even chance that he walks away from that courthouse altogether. But
you know,
that is based on the assumption that he gets a fair and impartial jury.
There's part of me that I don't, you know, I know what's going to happen if that happens.
Yeah.
You know, I remember
that's the wrong analysis. You know, if we decide that the results of a criminal case are, should be a function of how the community will react, then we've departed from the rule of law and we've decided that some version of mob justice is what's necessary. If this jury convicts Shelvin because they're afraid their homes, stores, and livelihood will be burned down, we've given up a commitment to fair trials, and we've decided that mob justice will do, and the mob with the biggest blowtorch will win. And I don't want to live in that country.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting take.
Very. Mm.
Norm, thanks for coming on, brother. A priest in Ireland was live streaming a mass when a rap song suddenly started playing through the speakers.
That's awesome.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Okay. It's Black the Ripper, Slash Samson, the Good Child on Productions. Check the freestyle, look.
Black the Ripper. Anyway, a bit of rap in the morning, wakes you up. Anyway, still nice to see you all.
Does wake you up.
What the hell?
Sounds like a U2 song at first. You know, like Bono does that spoken word part.
It did a little.
Right. And another thing going on then. Sunday, bloody Sunday.
So what was that? But did he amp that up on his computer? And it was in a pause position, and then it just started playing?
I guess.
Better than porn playing?
Yeah,
true.
That would be embarrassing.
Tough one to come back from.
Right.
Just thinking about those movies, The Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg. Those were hits, all of them. Stop looking at me. That was basically this. Except you got the Supremes instead of rap.
So not this.
So it's like this, but different.
Other people were thinking
like
it.
This, but not a movie.
Right. Right. This was real.
Right.
And this was rap, not the Supremes. And also, he's a male, and they were females.
It's like Meatloaf saying, one out of five, almost.
Other people were thinking it.
No, I'm pretty sure they weren't.
No, I don't think so.
There was one person out there thinking it.
That's why the silence, because we were like, what is happening?
even Whoopi looked at the radio and went, what the hell is she talking about?
Sister
Act. Wow.
Whoopi Goldberg.
They're great hit movies, all of them. That was your full review, by the way.
Yeah,
that was Ashley's full review of the entire franchise.
It sounded like she was sleep talking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, what?
That's why I was staring. I'm like, are you sleeping, sitting up with your eyes open right now?
I'm not having a very good day.
With those disconnected thoughts.
Those bangs are so low, our eyes could be closed right now.
We're all getting through Tired Talk Tuesday.
Tired Talk Tuesday.
We just talked about pizza. She put herself in a food coma just thinking about it.
All right. Woman robs Jacksonville bank in an electric wheelchair.
There's your high-speed chase.
According to Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, the woman at the center of the headline-grabbing crime is Kenyita Gordon. In a newly obtained report Tuesday, police say Gordon, 39, entered the bank, asked the teller to assist her in adding overdraft protection to her account. That's nice.
All right.
After the teller completed the request, Gordon asked to withdraw money.
Oh. The bank went
out. To which she was told the transaction could not be completed.
Uh-oh. She didn't like that. An electric card.
That's when officers say Gordon became agitated, screaming profanities, and told the teller to give her money.
Oh, okay.
Teller gave her $100. Suspect took off on her wheelchair. And so the cops arrive to get a description. The Do you need a detailed description on this one?
I mean, yeah, how many people are fleeing an electric wheelchair, first of all? And if you want to stop it, just drop an extension cord in front of it.
Or throw a free pen down on the floor.
Something. It'll stop immediately.
Right. You can't taser. That'll just charge the batteries. Right.
Just put your charger.
Yeah, exactly.
Just put your foot down in front of it. It'll hurt a little bit, but it'll stop her.
Yeah. Just throw the cup of lollipops out on the floor.
The dum-dums will do it. Deploy the dum-dums. You dum-dums.
So after the cops got a description, they found her not far away. In addition to the stolen cash, a crack pipe was also found on her.
You know what? How they put those strips out, the spike strips?
Right.
All they got to do is put out a piece of, like, shag carpeting.
All right, we're just talking about great pizza in Connecticut. The top seven: Frank Pepe's Pizza in New Haven, Sally's in New Haven, Modern in New Haven, Bar in New Haven, Roseland in Derby, Colony Grill in Stamford, and Zabardi's in West Haven. And missing from this list is what? Let's go to the Long Island Sound right now. Out on a kayak, it's Jeff from Brewport.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Make a delivery.
Good morning.
Make a delivery? I'm going to the ferry.
Doing a little exercise, and that's all.
Hey, cool.
Oh, very good.
What's that?
That's called a wind.
No, she meant exercise.
Oh, sorry. It was a wide spectrum.
I got to tell you, that list that you read off, I've been to every one of them. Those are great pizza places.
Yeah.
Your place is great, too, though.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah,
when you build a pizza restaurant, you got to realize that in Connecticut, pizza's a religion. So if you're not doing it right, somebody's going to let you know.
Oh, yeah.
That is for damn sure.
For several minutes, yeah.
But you carved out a niche. Your pizza is very special.
Well, the goal was to do what they did on Worcester Street in Bridgeport. That was very simple, is to, copy the best and then make it your own.
That's true.
I hope you never get rid of that Korean barbecue pizza, man.
I was just going to mention that one.
I have never
love
experienced
that one.
Anything like that anywhere else.
With the kimchi?
You have nailed it.
It's one of the fan favorites. I mean, every place you just named has a specific signature pie, and that Korean barbecue kimchi pie is one of our signatures.
Mm-hmm. We used to do those Chaz and AJ monthly meals at Brewport.
I miss those a lot.
Jeff would put out that goes first. He put out six or seven different pizzas.
Yeah.
And the last one was always, what was it, like salad or something?
The vegetable pie.
Vegetable?
Yeah, with the broccoli and stuff on it.
That's right.
Tree hugger.
Yeah.
The tree hugger.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called the tree hugger.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the hug.
You know, we got a meat master. We have to have the opposite of that, which is a tree hugger.
The meat master is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should come with a defibrillator.
It should. It should.
Yeah.
I just pounded my chest on the ride home.
Well, the weather's getting better.
We miss having you guys over for the monthly meal. If you restart those up, just give me a call. We're going to have our tent up hopefully by the 1st of May, have some more outdoor dining, and get you guys there with some of your tribe.
Awesome.
Oh, tremendous.
Oh, I'd love it.
All right, thank you. Try not to drop your phone.
Yeah.
I know.
Be careful with the kayak there. Stay out of the way of the ferry.
Jeff from Brewport's out on the Long Island Sound on a kayak right now.
How you burn off the pizza.
That's exactly right. All right, thank you, brother.
Hey, talk to you guys soon.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
So we got to walk on the block a couple of times.
Jeff on the list there. Brewport.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Zoys and Brewport added to the list.
Yes, yes.
Picture in a kayak. It's kind of cold.
Well, he wears that hat, that derby for his root beer.
Yeah.
So I picture him on a kayak with his vest and the
derby.
And the derby.
And someone's going, did I just see that?
Right.
Somebody rubbing his eyes going, what the hell was that?
Dennis and Meriden.
Good afternoon. How is everybody?
Well, it's morning. But
that too, yeah.
It's only 9:40, brother.
Right. Right. Hey, you know what makes me feel good about this? Like, we're all in it together.
Yeah. Right?
We're all having a day.
Exactly. It's Tire Talk Tuesday.
I fell asleep waiting for you guys, but...
How long were you on hold?
That was a good comeback.
Is that because of the length or the content?
That was a good comeback.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, you guys ever hear a Little Rendezvous in Meriden? The pizza parlor?
Can't say I have.
No. Phil, where was that place we went to?
Middletown.
Crust
the Middletown.
Oh, I love Crust.
Yep.
Well, this place, Little Rendezvous, their oven was made in 1888. It used to be a bakery. If you Google it, the Little Rendezvous. And that's all they have is pizza. No salad, no grinders. They have pizza, soda, and beer.
How do you spell rendezvous?
It's really good.
It's rendezvous.
I like how you sounded it out. Rendezvous.
All right, Ashley, listen close. G-O-O-G.
K's and fish, yes.
You got it, Phil?
Yeah, we got it.
I got it.
Yeah,
just a joke.
It won't work.
All right.
All right, we got that down. Thank you.
It's really great pizza. I'm like, I don't know why it's not ever mentioned. I mean, the oven, it's a coal-fired oven from 1940.
Wow. That'd be a new appliance. That would be a new appliance in my house.
That was his comma from 1940.
Right. Like an omelet. Yeah.
1940.
Nice.
Think about making ovens in 1940.
Yes, they were.
You think they were thinking, well, they'll still be making pizza in this in 2021, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
that is kind of the theme between all the places we've mentioned. There's a history to those ovens, and that history goes into the flavor.
Yeah.
It matters.
Yep.
It started as a bakery. That's what it started out as, a bakery.
Most of them do.
Making bread.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they throw sauce and cheese on it and say, yay, you know what? That's the Melcy.
They say, yay.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. I don't. You get your finger snap.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right.
All right.
Okay, man. Bye.
Back to sleep.
Wes, you're in the bread truck.
Hey, morning.
Hey.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Wes.
And EJ. I think it just means I'm in a different category
to myself here.
That's right.
Hey, no, honestly, you got the swing thing down pat. I think that's a great idea. I think you got that all day, EJ. But I agree with the guy from Meriden. Little Rendezvous, same thing, right on the box. Brick oven, cold fire, been around 130 some odd years. Steve's the owner, great guy, super humble. I think that's a huge reason why they're never really on any lists or whatnot. They don't really get any fanfare. I don't think he really does any advertisements, anything like that. He's got his
word of mouth.
He's got his crew of regulars, you know.
Yep.
And
how have we not had a pizza fest yet? Chaz and AJ Pizza Fest.
Let's do it. Do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Same thing with Little Rendezvous. Cash only. Cash only. He was right. Beer served on premises. No other food. You know, Steve's a great guy. I mean, he just had a heart surgery a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure exactly what it was for, but he shut down for a few weeks. Popped right back in. Started shooting up pies. You know.
There you go.
He knows the names a lot. Yeah. And, I just wanted to add that in there. You guys definitely got to check it out. The original mozzarella or the sauce with just parm, a little crispy.
Sauce. That's how.
Like crispy.
And honestly, I used to live, when I met my ex, I lived down on Worcester Street, well, Chapel, right behind Abate's. My backyard was.
All right.
Abate's. Oh, love Abate's.
And I had them all. Yeah.
Bigger pants size, too, I'm guessing.
At Worcester Street, such a magical place. Can you picture that in, like, 1936, 7?
If I lived there, you hear tuba playing when I'm walking. All the pizzas. Oh, my God, he's huge!
It's when I think your brain can't do anything to amaze me, it does.
Spit out another gem.
Is that a good thing? Or?
Yeah.
Cool.
Rich in Terryville.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Good. I used to work at Roseland in the mid-1980s, and let me tell you, they're a great bunch of people. Talking about the shrimp pizza, the shrimp casino, the shrimp Toscano, they were probably the first, I want to say in Connecticut or definitely New Haven, Derby area, to come out with that pizza, and it was a big hit. And I mean, they waste nothing there. They started off as a bakery, same thing, went to pizza. Their grandfather, when he worked there, was 92 years old. He used to walk 3 miles a day and bake the bread 6 days a week.
Wow.
You get the fresh bread to the table. The sub rolls are made fresh daily. The next day, they turn into garlic bread. The next day, they go in the breadcrumbs for the meatballs. The next day, they go on the pizza board mixed with the cornmeal to put the pizza in the oven.
That's tremendous.
There was
That's
nothing, yes.
Fantastic.
The farmer's mentality.
Right, and the croutons.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could tell you guys some great stories, but they're probably not suitable for the airwaves. But great people. In fact, at the time, the two brothers were basically running, John and Gary Lucarelli. And I was 16, 17. They were probably the mid-late 30s. And we used to go to Cappy's Market in Derby and pick up the pork butts to grind their own sausage.
Too many jokes here.
Yeah. they would take the cap, the fat cap off of it, save it for the sauce, grind the sausage fresh 3, 4, 5 days a week. Nothing goes to waste. I mean, they made their own house Italian dressing, all the things you talk about. And the oven isn't anything special. People think it's coal, it's wood, it's brick. It's a regular pizza oven. It's the dough.
Really?
The metal kind with the wool.
But it's the same oven since 34 now.
Probably is. The insides are probably, I mean, the floor of it, you know, inside the pizza oven is probably the same. But I remember they had repairs done, like in the mechanical parts that you can't see, you know. But I'm sure it's the same inside. You know, it's no special oven. It's them.
Yeah.
It's their recipe. I remember they used to adjust it for the humidity during the summer. I mean, nothing went to waste. I mean, they had one type of salad dressing at the time. It was the house Italian, and they'd make it every day. That was it. But a lot of great people. In fact, one
I'm
of the
sure
brothers,
we've crossed paths because I went there a lot in the 80s.
You probably did, but yeah. You know, the 80s are a little foggy for me. So yeah, at a certain time.
I don't recognize your voice.
I always say, what kind of car you drive? Boom.
Right.
Yeah. I live,
you had the Camaro, right?
Yeah.
You know, I live a half hour away from there now, 35 minutes, 40 yeah. minutes. So I don't go there that much anymore. But, you know, I went in there 4 years ago, went back to the kitchen. Gary and John were there. I think they're there only part-time now. They pass it on to the next generation full-time. And the first thing they did was give me a big, nice Italian kiss on the forehead.
Yeah.
You two kisses, you're in trouble.
Right. But they still recognize me, and I've changed a lot, you know, 35 years ago, if not a little more. But great people to work with. Showed me a lot about cooking, worth, you know.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.